Hey guys, this is Reese Alley with the SCA Construction Podcast. We have another episode where we're going to talk about what it means to be valuable to a company and how to uphold the right values and go through your career in a meeting of strength. And I will say we did change the name of the podcast. If you did see some of the other episodes where it said Built with Purpose, getting the kinks worked out. We have a couple issues with that when somebody made the same name. It was hard to match the color scheme. So in the effort to make everything very consistent, we are just going to keep it the SCA podcast and use the exact same logo. And so you guys might notice if you're watching and if you're listening, we've got Tommy Smith, a business partner on here once again. And we're going to be going through a handful of different points that I'm really excited to talk about. But with the main point, what it means to sell your soul to gain the world in your career and how that might affect people around you, your family, obviously yourself, as you go through your career and build a meaningful income source and surround yourself with meaningful people. So tell me, how are you?
Doing great, Reese. Excited about this podcast.
Awesome. So I want to go through a handful of questions. I'm going to skip over just a little bit from what we originally read. But the first thing I'd like to ask is, what does it practically mean to focus on the priorities of families, relationships, while still being responsible in business? And how can we test whether our priorities are rightly ordered? Because the thing that most people get into, whether you have a small business or you know you're working for us or another company, is you have all of these different things, and you know you have these two extremes where there's so many people online that are telling you to you know put in the 80-hour weeks and work 7 days a week and put everything to the side. Where I was in that place for a long time, where it was working 7 days a week and don't go on any dates, don't even look at anybody, and only focus on work. But at the end of the day, you pick your head up in 5 years, 10 years, and your whole life has just vanished. And so from what you've experienced, you know, what? Where's the balance there? How do you tell when you're too far off track?
Wow, great question.
So where's the balance? I think we need to start with priorities. I think you said a lot with priorities, and when you know, sometimes when we talk about priorities, we don't have overarching priorities, meaning, you know, how do we prioritize this task over this task? Or how do we prioritize this, you know, procedure over that procedure or whatever? So priorities, you know, I'll just list my priorities. My priorities are God, family, business, then you know, personal enjoyment after that. So so why is it that way? And then obviously health is in there as well, but that's, you know, personal priority. You got to keep your health up. But as far as prioritizing, you know, having a solid relationship with God for me keeps sanity in all the other areas and helps me prioritize. As far as that goes, when I look at, I do see burnout all the time, and I see family burnout more often than not. You know, we live in a world that's, what, 60%+ divorce rate, 70% divorce rate. It's crazy. You know, and even for single guys, you were talking about as a single guy. You know, I heard last week a mentor who's been deceased for years, but Napoleon Hill wrote Think and Grow Rich. He did an interview in his 50s. He waited until he was 50 years old to get married. And in an interview, he was asked, what is the number one greatest attribute to success? What's the number one thing you could tell everybody as far as to get something right, to have a successful life? And he said, it's all in who you marry. And people don't realize that, but that marriage relationship was divine, you know, is ordained, is created for a purpose. And I think ultimately everything must rest on Christ. So however you, I say this all the time, however you do anything is how you do everything. So when you're in the priority, be all in during that season, but don't allow one area of priority to supersede the other priorities. I don't know if that's helpful. If you got some questions around that.
It definitely is. And I loved the phrase the other day where you had mentioned, you know, how do you figure out the right kind of mentor and the right person to listen to? And you said there's two things they have to have. They have to have a worn out Bible and a smiling wife. And it's like, yeah, I think that rules out a whole bunch of them, doesn't it? There's a lot of people have it collecting on the shelf, and you know, they get home and the wife's frowning and sad, and obviously just mentioned the divorce rate 60%. And you know, at least in our business, you know, we've tried to stay out of Saturdays and Sundays as much as possible. We've never worked a Sunday, but Saturdays are something we cut out a handful of years ago on average. And every once in a blue moon, you got to get it done. But what do you think the value to our people has been in terms of attracting a talent and getting a person that actually values both sides, working hard and having a family?
Well, so as far as working, you know, weekends and just sometimes it's not the amount of time you put in, it's what you put in the time. So working more hours doesn't give you a badge of honor. You know as well as I do, Reese, you can walk on a job site, just speaking from construction experience. You know if you've got the it factor. You know if you've got momentum. You can smell it. You can see the guy's eyes. Are they looking at their bootlaces? Are they looking over the joysticks? You know, are they engaged and they feel like they're winning and succeeding, or are they just trudging through? So as far as work goes, is, you know, especially, you know, I'm a field guy. I grew up in the field, grew up on a farm, transitioned here. So I can just smell the momentum on the job site. So I, you know, early on in my career, when I first was getting started, it was just me and whomever I could grab to, you know, so that it did spill into a lot of Saturdays. And my wife was my number one, you know, priority at home. Obviously, God, family, you know, I've prioritized my relationship with my maker, but then obviously my wife. And but to your point, it is a constant battle. It is, you know, people think, you know, and I do believe that we have to, I don't want to give a lot of accolades to, but Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of darkness and the evil forces of the day. Well, who do you think wants you more away from your family, more away from, more subject to harm, more subject to mistakes? You know, a worn out person, there's a shelf life to your productivity throughout the week. You only have so much creative mental energy. And once it's expired, you know, I think we were in a meeting last week and Ryan Bailey's, he said, yeah, all problems happen on Saturday because people are trying too hard. And then they spend all day Sunday fixing those problems. And then they drink all the time because of all the problems they've got. So, yeah, man, just rightly prioritizing some things is huge. I don't know if it answered the question. Hopefully it spoke to it.
It definitely does. And this is a question I came up with, and I was going to ask this a little bit later, but I really want to do it now. And you mentioned about, you know, how hard you're supposed to work and what you're supposed to do, and maybe what difference is it makes working on a Saturday or Sunday. But the question would be, is what role should ambition play in a man's career? And is it wrong to be ambitious, or does it depend on the motivation behind it? And that leads into the second of, where do you draw the line between an obsession in your career and a healthy balance? Because going back to the first part of the conversation, where I know you've worked 7 days a week before, I've worked 7 days a week before, where you're burning on both ends, you're fixing, you know, Saturday's mistakes on Sunday, you're too stressed out, so you're drinking at night, hungover in the morning, and it's just this horrible cycle. Not to mention if you even have a family, friends, or girlfriend, wife outside of all of this. And I guess for me, at least, to draw the line where I worked in that way for a while, and then, you know, we partnered up, and it was still that way for a little while, but it balanced out a lot in the last handful of years. And I think it's been a tremendous change, just because in that same time period, and Ryan Bailey, you just mentioned, we did a podcast with him a few days ago, and he mentioned it, where since he's been working with us, he has met the woman of his dreams. He has, you know, two kids, you know, to call his own. And it's been an amazing change. And in the same time period, I met the woman of my dreams. I got married, and we're going to have our first son in 4 days. And I feel like we actually have a life. And so for you, what difference has it made? Where is the line to draw? How do you know when too much is too much?
So let me peel back the layers of the onion here. So how much is too much? How do you know when too much is too much? The first thing I would speak to that, that our pastor, James Griffin at Crosspoint City Church here in Cartersville, this last Sunday actually spoke to this specific topic, I think, from a different angle, but honestly, it's the same topic. So basically, James said that, you know, well, are you a horrible person? Are you sinful if you drink a glass of wine? And he's like, you know, Jesus turned the whole river into wine, man. And it wasn't grape juice. It was wine. So I'm not promoting alcohol on this audio, but what I'm saying is people are so confused because there's a dichotomy of good and evil. Somewhere in between we lie, and both sides are fighting for our heart at all times. So that goes back to to put on the whole armor of God, right? So that's an overarching thought process, is we have to be aware that we're in a war, or you're already getting your butt kicked. So that's step number one. As far as the war for what? Okay, for your time. As far as your time, let me back up one more step. I think the way the pastor said it, he said, is what does your worship rest on? You know, are you drinking the alcohol to get drunk? Are you praising the maker that gave us the alcohol to relax ourselves and enjoy a moment of worship? So, you know, if your praise rests on alcohol, you're an alcoholic. If your praise rests on the Creator, then, you know, you're pointing towards Christ, and there's, you know, it's not sinful. I think a real understanding is if you peel it, this is a huge topic, man. I could talk for 8 hours on this, so please bear with my flow here. But if you really got to back it up another step and say, well, what is sin? All sin is ignoring God in the world that He created. So I believe for a person to have a successful, balanced life, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm not imposing this, but if you ask my perspective, I can't be a Christian only on Sunday while attending church. You know, I can't not be a Christian when I'm a dad at high school helping my daughter with marching band. If I'm in business, you can't tell me to leave my Christian hat at home and be, you know, a stagnant, a non-identified person in business. So I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian dad. I'm a Christian businessman. I'm a Christian father. I'm a Christian friend. So how you do anything really is how you do everything. So everything I'm going to talk about comes from that angle or that perspective. But basically, so with that premise, knowing how to prioritize things, you just look at it and say, okay, that leads up to the question, okay, you know, when are you too committed or too worshiping the work? Well, what are you fixed on? You know, you don't get what you want. You get what you picture. So when you're doing the work, what do you picture? The amount of people that you can help and ministries you can empower when you receive the money that, you know, if God can't get it through you, why should He bring it to you? So what is your fixation on? Is your fixation on, you know, I've got to have a new bass boat and a new pickup truck and a better deer hunting lodge? Well, it's okay to dream for those things and want those things, but does that rest back on the Creator that gave you those things, and you can share those things with other people to draw them in, you know? So prioritization's huge. Having your priorities right is huge, but that there's not a one-size-fits-all answer to that. But ultimately, for me, it's like, what am I trying to accomplish in the moment with the thing? And one thing I knew since birth, my dream, you know, I grew up on a farm, our family spent time together, but, you know, we worked all the time. I wanted more for my life, but as much as anything, I wanted a healthy family. I wanted a wife that I could love and cherish and honor and respect. I wanted kids that I could raise and, you know, train in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So why work your guts out and sacrifice your family? You get what you want financially. Now you don't have anybody to share it with. So what's it worth? So keeping in mind the picture of what you're running to accomplish, and that should help you with your prioritization.
So to just dwell on that for a second, I had the last time we did a growth plan,
so right,
we spent $45,000 to get a very acclaimed former CEO to explain to us how to put together a growth plan, what to do with it, you know, when we're supposed to make this, and a plan for our company to scale to 10 million at the time. We were doing less than three, and we both got these consults in the very beginning. And so it's very, obviously it's a high ticket service. He gives a high ticket product. And we had these couple Zoom calls where we talked about the weaknesses and things like that. And the first question that he asked after we went through all the personality traits and things like that was, you know, Reese, when's the last time you went on a date? And it had been about 4 years, to be very honest. It was a while. And so, and he's like, oh my gosh. He's like, he slammed his computer and, you know, put his nose to the side. And he's like, he's keep in mind, he's like, you know, 65 years old and been in business a long time, run some of the biggest organizations in the world. And he's like, Reese, what are you doing? And it's like, you know, what are you doing? You have this business and obviously we're partnered and you guys are doing great things and there's great potential. But he's like, none of that matters if you're going to be depressed in 10 years and you just watch all of your 20s and then you wake up in your 30s and all of that goes by and you're just gone in a whiff. It's all not for naught. What about having kids? What about having a wife? And I remember thinking in my head before I said it out loud, well, if I get married and have kids, that's not gonna mean anything for our business. And then before I said something so egregiously stupid, I talked back and I was like, well, maybe I can work on that. And he's like, you better work on that more than you work on this business. There aren't going to be a business. You're going to be an alcoholic drunk who's depressed when he's 30 years old and he's burnt out.
Yeah.
And that's what started it for me. And, you know, you've been a really great example of someone who has a great marriage and you have prioritized it in certain places in your career where you needed to. And for the guy that is, you know, maybe he's 20, maybe he's 30, maybe he's 40. I met a mentor the other day. It was a few years ago that right now he's got a $450 million business. And the first time that I talked to him, the first thing he said when I asked him, what did he do if he had gone back and done it all again? He said, I got married when I was 38 years old. And I spent about the first entire half of my life working 7 days a week and all to have all of my friends that did all of those things. And I got left out the whole time. And he has a big business. He got the plane, the helicopter, all those things. And it didn't matter to him. Like, he wouldn't have said that. He didn't go back and say, man, I would have bought a bigger jet and I would have worked 8 days a week if I could. But, you know, for you, where would you say, and this is a fine, I think this is a fine line, because if you work too long and you go too long, and sometimes you have to, if it's a stretch season, you got to go hard. But if you have a family, for the people that do, you have a wife, you have kids, and you have that environment, let's say it's happy now, and you get those big opportunities. Let's say maybe that's you have a small business or you're in a position in your career where there is an opportunity to move across the country or to take on new responsibility and it's a big pay raise, or you're in that kind of situation where there's a higher opportunity here for finance, for the opportunity in your career. How do you balance what you would give up with your family, and how can you tell when it's going south and when to back off? So it doesn't erode into nothing.
Yeah, no, that's huge, man. And again, the constant battle, right? So what you're seeing, or what are the indicators? So as you know, there's a reason a jet airplane has indicators. We need to know that the engine's running hot before it catches on fire because we have that many people in midair. There's a reason, you know, your dump truck has indicator light. You know, you got all these, the cockpit has all the dashboard of all the indicator, gauges and signs and lights and so on and so forth. Well, if it's that important for a couple $100,000 piece of equipment, how important is it for your life? So most people never put indicators or educate themselves about the potential hazards from, and I refer to the enemy, you know, the enemy cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if that is true, and we believe that, there needs to be indicators. So for me personally, as educating myself, so if you're married, even if you're not married, this book helped me I read a book. There's a couple books I would recommend. Number one is a book called The Five Love Languages. I have given that book to countless, 25, 30, 40. Anytime I've been invited to a wedding, my wife and I, we give them the book, The Five Love Languages. It was written by Dr. Gary Chapman. He's up in North Carolina. Actually, my brother-in-law went to his church. He knew him years ago up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But anyways, Gary Chapman was a, you know, marriage counselor, family counselor, and he deducted, basically boiled it all down, years and years, 30 plus years in ministry and in counsel and in, you know, studying human relationships, and basically boiled it down to the five love languages. And he summed it up this way. He said, basically your spouse or the other person, it could be your child, it could be the people at work, it could be, so everybody, you know, when you think of love, people think of intimate love, but there's, you know, I love you in the love of Christ, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? God is love. If you're wondering what God is love. The five love languages, he went on to write the five love languages of children, the five love languages of God. There's a bunch of different, you can go deep into that study, but the number one thing you can have is an education of realizing that that family has a love tank, and you can tell there are indicators if you're looking for them, if that tank starts to get low, and not everybody receives love the same way. So sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's acts of service. Sometimes it can be a gift. You know, I'm trying to go through the five love languages: acts of service, gifts, quality time, words of affirmation. What did I leave out? Anyways, they'll come back to me in a little bit. But the point that I'm making is educating yourself and being aware. Another thing you said about, you know, getting caught up in it 7 days a week, you know, to accomplish the task, finish the goal, see the vision through, whatever. Do you ever stop and ask yourself, is that your flesh or is that God's call? So if that's your fleshly vision, you know, who are you serving? Are you serving God or are you serving mammon? You know, what is the outcome of that vision? So somewhere in between reality lies. I mean, we're all in different jobs. I've had jobs, you know, that I had to do at times that I didn't feel very spiritual. You know, I was shoveling horse crap out of the barn. I didn't really feel the love, but I knew that I was, you know, working toward a productive end. So not all jobs are just, or businesses are just favorable in what you're doing. But the word says, do everything you do, do it as unto Christ. So, you know, the transverse of that's true as well. How you do anything is how you do everything. So, you know, are you mailing it in at work, being lazy, being distracted, trying to operate in the flesh, not praying that God would give you a vision that's His vision that you can chase? So I think you got to take God on that journey. I say it all the time. I know you've heard me say it 1,000 times. I'm not good enough to have this type of business. I'm not that smart. I feel like I'm intelligent. I'm good-hearted, but, you know, I know my limits, and I'm just super thankful that you know, to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and to, I'm not on this journey alone. And another thing is, Reese, is having an eternal perspective. I think the Bible says we're here for a whiff. I don't know about you, but a whiff don't sound too long to me. Sounds like a whiff. Whiff's a whiff. It's pretty short. So if we're here for such a short period of time, you can't, you know, there's no U-Haul hooked up to a hearse carrying all your things to the gravesite with you. The only thing you can take you're going to the next chapter. You were created to live eternally. But you're eternally, to be absent in the flesh is to be present with Christ if you are a believer in Christ. And the transverse of that is true. You're going one place or the other. We're all created to live eternally. So if you have an eternal perspective and saying, okay, I'm above grade on this side of heaven for X number of years, what am I trying to produce with that time? What are my priorities? You know, what do I want to hear when I cross over the other side? You know, I think we're going to be asked, you know, how did you steward the one life I gave you? So, you know, there's a lot, it's a big question. Hopefully some of that helps.
And this is going to throw people off a little bit because, you know, going back to the beginning of the conversation, the amount of people out there right now that are building a business to buy the fast car, they're building the business to, this is my favorite one, they're building the business and making a bunch of money so they can get a girl. That's the worst one.
Yeah, that's...
Take everything aside.
If that's how you get the girl, did you get her or did your pocketbook get her?
Yeah, did it come with a gold shovel? I'm being facetious, but there's a lot of people that are trying to figure out, you know, their purpose, the pursuit of, you know, life, liberty, happiness, the American dream, all those things. And everybody starts in different places. So you have one person that's starting from generational wealth that was born in the Lamborghini that's going to go the Thanksgiving on their yacht and go to Monaco to watch the Grand Prix and all these things. And they're always going to have probably more money. And then there's another person down here that was born, you know, middle class, you know, both parents worked and they had to work for a lot of the things they have. And if they wanted them to get to the Lamborghini or the this or that, then they start a business to go chase it. And then they spend an enormous amount of their life chasing after those specific things. And so for a lot of people, the issue with depression and anxiety and emotional issues and gaps and voids in their life is centered around not understanding what they want because they've never nailed it down. It's only fixed on a thing that gets outdated in a few years, or it's to get that fictitious girl that's only going to appreciate you for your money, that you have to earn their respect and earn their trust. And that's just not how it works. And so to speak to that person that they haven't found happiness, they haven't found that void to be filled, and they're trying to put together a career or a path or a business that's going to solve those things, how would you explain to figure out what you want? So when someone asks you, you can answer it in a way that isn't going to change in 20 minutes for in 20 years.
That is a huge question. Wow, you've got some great questions. So the first thing that came to my mind is, you know, in the book Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill's, I think it's chapter 2, he says, thoughts truly are things when backed by emotional desire for their achievement. So you have to have an emotion backed in it. But he also says later about the definiteness of purpose as one of the chapters. So what you're asking is, you know, what do you want? I feel like you got to go deeper and find out, you know, really soul search, really dive in and peel back the layers. You know, I was in a network marketing. Yeah, I still own a network marketing business. I'm very excited about chasing with a vengeance because I've learned a lot and it's a great opportunity to work with people and I've learned a lot about people. But basically, my first mentor in that business asked me, he said, "Tell me, what's your definite major purpose?" I'm like, "Well, to achieve this level of success, of course." He's like, he's kind of rough around the edges, but he says, "You can do that in 2 years. What's going to happen then? You're going to die?" And I'm like, "Well, you're a butthole, but yeah, that's true." So you had to soul search. So when all I can do is give my testimony. So when I really pulled back the layers of the onion, what my dad did for people, what I was impressed with, what I wanted to do, how I wanted to be remembered long after I was gone. You know, really people are, the root of that you're asking is what's your sense of purpose? It's living without a sense of purpose yields chasing a bunch of rabbits. You know, your shiny objects, I guess, is another way to say that. So for me, the sense of, as I dove in and soul searched, I arrived on Tommy wants to be remembered for being an example and raising the standard for godly men. So if I live my life in such a way that my family points towards Christ, my business points towards Christ, you know, my association points towards Christ, and not to say we're Bible thumpers and I don't sin, and you know, we do what, yeah, I do read the Bible, but my goal is to be Christ-like. Christ didn't go into the bar and beat everybody up for being where they're at. He went into the bar and loved on everybody and helped them see a different light. So that's my goal. So how do I tie that back to business? Well, with SCA, you know, you, there's people on the team and, you know, I've pulled a guy off a job site last year, you know, that came in, he wasn't fitting in. He was all anxious, had child support this, problem that, blah, blah, blah. And he was so anxious. He was like a ticking time bomb. I just pulled him off job site, took him Chick-fil-A. I was like, dude, take a deep breath, number one. I don't feel like you're winning. How can you, you know, let's, what do you really want? And we started peeling back the layers of the onion. So how do you help somebody find out what they want? I think it's hard to, there's no one way answer. What you got to do is keep help somebody. You got to keep peeling back the layers of the onion to find out where their head's really at. And, I've said this probably in another podcast, but I say it all the time. If you want to succeed in anything, if you want to succeed at a construction company, a landscape company, if you want to succeed in a network marketing company, if you want to succeed in a real estate company, there's only five steps. You got to decide what you want, decide when you want it, decide what you're willing to give up to get it, develop a plan and work your plan. That is the five steps. There's not 35 steps. There's five. And most people have absolutely no idea what they want, even those who are chasing success, because they're chasing shiny objects, meaning, to your point, if I get that thing. And I think personally that's born out of the society is chasing the thing. I think we were created. I 100% believe that we were created by God. And I think God put a hole in our heart that only Christ can fill. So if we don't build that relationship, get that right alignment, and put Christ in that hole, then everybody's just chasing shiny objects. They'll chase alcohol. They'll chase womanizing. They'll chase pornography. They'll chase success in business. They'll chase the next vehicle. They'll chase the next hunting trip, the next fishing trip. And not that hunting, fishing, I'm not saying that wanting to go hunting, fishing. I've done all the above. I love all, you know, hunting, fishing. You know, I have a boat. But is it out of moderation or is it out of worship? Here's how you know if you're worshiping something. If it points, if you look through that thing at Christ, then you're worshiping Christ. If your worship ends at the thing, then you've got a major problem in your life and you don't even realize it.
Absolutely. And to close out this topic and in the podcast as a whole, how can someone in their career, in their business, or whatever they're doing or pursuing, how can they have a meaningful purpose and point to God and a meaningful thing and something that's going to fulfill their life as that only thing that can fill the void? What can they do? And let's isolate this. For the majority where you're in a career, you're working for either us, you're working for somebody else. We do construction. We lay pipe. We pour concrete. We do asphalt. We do really mundane things. And so how could someone on our team and how do the people on our team point to a meaningful purpose and attract the right kind of people to go along with that mission? In the office, if you've got two different companies, and we were on a job site this morning, literally before coming to this podcast, and on one side of the job site, there are guys that are in hard hats just like us. There are guys in vests just like us. And they were actually going to pour concrete just like us. But it looked like one of them was hungover. They're spitting on each other's shoes and, you know, not paying attention, not really doing what they're supposed to do, being where they're supposed to be, cussing up a storm. You know, and there's the saying where everybody in construction is just, you know, the deadbeat that's talking about, you know, going home to the old lady. And there's a lot of that kind of construction that wakes up hungover every morning and just is just existing. And then the guys, not to promote our people, but we have really good people. And they are exemplifying Christ. They're exemplifying a greater meaning. And they're not bad-mouthing their friends and their family on the job site. You know, how can you be someone that's pointing to a meaningful purpose in something that's mundane?
Well, you know, when you say that, you're talking, my brain went to, you know, we've got Patrick Wrighty, who's one of the nicest human beings I've ever met. We hired him as, you know, general labor. He's a driver for us. He's growing and changing and becoming. And, you know, but if my wife and daughter were broke down on the side of the road, he's one of the first guys I would want to show up because I trust him. So ask yourself, are you trustworthy? So it's a culture. It sounds like that company that you just spoke of, they had a need to make money that superseded their need to be a proper example. So usually those companies are short term. They come and go all the time because they're chasing, you know, shiny objects. I say, I don't know how else to say that, but they're focused on the short term gain versus the longevity of creating a culture that is sustainable over time. So, man, it's funny you said, mentioned somebody talking about the old lady. The hair stood up on my arm. I almost got goosebumps. I'm telling you, if you're listening to this podcast and you tell your wife, if you refer to your wife or girlfriend as the old lady, I want to punch you in the throat. You do not deserve to be called a man. You are a boy, and you are not in society at large. I think we've gotten so politically correct that we're ineffective in America. People are chasing, you know, oh, that's being a man. You know, I'm old enough to drink. I smoke. I do this. That's the stupidest crap I've ever heard in my life. If you refer to a child of God, a woman that God entrusted you to be the spiritual head of that household to, and you refer to her as the old lady, I want to punch you in the throat. You are a boy. You are not a man. A manhood starts with personal responsibility. And I think it starts with understanding who you are, whose you are, and where you're going. And if you haven't answered those questions, you got some homework to do. If you don't do that homework, shame on you, because you're going to have a miserable life. It might be because you're uneducated. It might be because, for whatever reason, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be ugly. I say that out of the deepest heart of love. And there's a gap in our society. Society has slid so far that people, if you say that around me, you're getting collared. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. You're getting called out. You do you, boo, but we're not going to exist in the same climate. I promise you, not long at all, because that's just a disrespectful to a creation from God, number one. Number two, it's disrespectful to your spouse. Number three, it's the most horrible example you can set for your young daughter. Maybe you ain't got one yet. What if you do? You don't want to sow into the world that thought process that your daughter's to be looked at as the old lady. No, you're a beautiful child of God that put here on earth for a purpose, and I've been entrusted in your care to provide for you financially, spiritually, to provide a safe place for you. I'm here to be an example, to be a spiritual leader. I'm here to provide love. I'm here to provide safety. And if you refer to that person as the old lady while you're drinking at the bar talking about fishing, shame on you.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, I want to cap this out. I think it's been a phenomenal podcast. And for y'all listening, we're on Spotify and Apple. We're going to be posting a few shorts on YouTube as well. And so if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or new ideas, please just let us know in the comments or direct message us.